the Premier League on OTB.
Young Min Son, who needs Harry Kane when you've got Young Min Son?
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
Delighted to say Anthony Moyles is with us. Anthony, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger. How you doing?
I'm enjoying it. This is I was a neutral observer at the weekend. Poor Owen is a little bit heartbroken, a little bit lost. He's a wandering soul at the moment and not quite sure where he's going to end up.
Yeah, I have to say I felt sorry for him there. I listened to you earlier on. He does sound like he's just bobbing along, you know, and he's doing those forlorn, I'd say, 1,000-yard stares into space, just kind of wondering where it all went wrong. And you did warn him, Ger. I listened to you last week. I was convinced myself. Enda McGinley came on and he burst a few bubbles, I think. And the longer I listened to him, and I was scratching my head going, hold on a second here. And I went back and I actually did a little bit of work myself. And I can't remember whose tweet I saw, but someone had basically just put up the advancement of this Tyrone team and the change and the alteration of them over the last kind of 2 to 3 seasons. And it was actually really quite stark. And the more I looked at it and the more I kind of listened, as I said, to Enda, the more worried I got for Kerry, to be honest, you know, because it just started to kind of balance it out a bit. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't see necessarily the naiveness of Kerry. I didn't see that, but I definitely thought it would have been closer than what everyone was predicting.
Can you talk us through that transformation and which parts of those 3 or 4 years really stick out to you?
Well, I think it's something we've always even said over the last number of years, like when we've been analysing Tyrone in any of the games, I always felt that they had an issue at six, not necessarily who played six, but in that central position, you know, top of the D. And what was happening a lot to them was they were leaking goals. You know, they were shipping goals because an awful lot of teams were running down the centre. You know, it's happened to them on multiple occasions. And you know, they just didn't have a presence there, not be it 1 man, 2 men, whatever it was. And in the last while, they've really got that right. Now what they've done is it's kind of a, I suppose it's a collective responsibility. It's not necessarily that it's one, but Petey Hart is absolutely instrumental in it, in organising it. And what they certainly do is they cordon off that kind of area around the D. And what they do is, and you've seen it, like, I mean, on Saturday, on umpteen occasions, they entice you in there. And as soon as you go in there, they just close down the net on you. And like all good teams, they're really, really protecting that scoring zone. But they do it even smarter, you know, in the sense of they'll let you have the ball out in the wings. But then as soon as you start to come in, well, then they really snaffle you and they put bodies around you and they wait for you actually to make your move. And rather than them coming in with stupid tackles, which Kerry did an awful lot, like, I mean, I'd say it was just, you know, I thought, okay, so some people might think that the referee was a little bit harsh on Kerry. I thought that at times, to be honest, but, you know, some of the tackles that they made in the defence at vital times to give handy scores to Tyrone was crucial, whereas Tyrone were doing the exact opposite. So I think it's an area where they really, really focus on over the last number of years. And it's reaping dividends. I think they've only conceded 1 goal in the championship so far, which was from Donegal, which was actually a move that kind of started out around the field, but then they kind of went straight down the middle. And you could see how annoyed the Tyrone players were when the goal went in. They were on the ground, they were punching the ground, and they were as if to say, Jesus, that's something that we've planned to never allow happen to us again. And even though all the players, if you watch that goal, they were racing back like at full pace to try and get a hand in or get a block in, you know, they didn't quite get there. And actually yesterday, you know, when you even look at some of the goal chances Kerry had, like O'Neill put a brilliant block in, the intensity and the just the willingness to get back and to get back into that area, and even though a player may have got it through the middle, especially a Kerry guy yesterday, the willingness to get back and get blocks in and get bodies around was really telling. And actually, there was a stark contrast for one of the Tyrone goals, And then one of the Kerry chances in the intensity that the Tyrone guys got back rather than the actual looseness and I suppose lack of intensity that some of the Kerry players showed.
I hear that described often as hunger, but I don't buy the whole hunger thing because like Owen here is like starving this morning. He's talking about a famine. You know, it's not like the Kerry team somehow desired to win the game less than the Tyrone team. For me, it's about identity. And the Tyrone are absolutely certain. Everybody is 100% sure of what their job is and what they're supposed to do and how that interacts with their teammates. It seems like Kerry are a little bit transitional still in what they're trying to do. Are we, when we're out of possession, who are the defenders? What are their roles? Who are they marking? Are we zonal? Are we going man-to-man on these guys? And when they're in possession, it's like, find Clifford, what can we do? Shit, he's marked. What do we do now? There's just that, like, it's just, there's a significant difference where it seems like the coaching and the drilling is finished or is getting better with Tyrone and it's all going one direction. With Kerry, it's still a little bit up in the air.
Well, you know, if you showed someone who didn't have a clue about football, if you just said, listen, you know, if you showed them the two lineups after the game and said, right, now look at the scorers on both teams. Like, I mean, the thing that jumps out at you the most stark thing is, like, I mean, Tyrone had, their goalkeeper got, I think, 2 points and their fullback line all got a point each, right? Like, I mean, there was a spread of scorers throughout the Tyrone team. There was no reliance on one or two players. And really, to be honest with you, most of the forwards wear numbers, small numbers on their jersey, low numbers, and most of the backs. So you don't know where, like, I mean, who's playing where necessarily, because there is this collective responsibility. They're all willing to go up and have a shot. Hamsey had one. You know, they're all willing. They're all very comfortable in the ball. Whereas, as you rightly say, Jared, the Kerry thing is we have to get the ball to one of two or three men. And, you know, people will talk an awful lot about, obviously, Clifford, and they'll talk an awful lot about O'Shea. But actually, the man that Tyrone really focused on yesterday was Paddy Clifford. Like, I mean, they just went, this guy is the quarterback for this team. This guy makes them tick. He plays long balls, short balls. He's the heartbeat of that forward line. He links it all in together. And it was an absolute masterstroke by Duer and Logan to put Myler on. Like, an absolute masterstroke. It killed them. Because, and you know, the funny thing about it was, I thought after the first water break, or at least half time, Kerry might go, okay, listen, Paddy, it's just not working for you there. We're going to put you right in the corner, or we're going to put you literally in on the square and you can come around on the loop. Or lads, look, we're going to change this up a bit. It's not working. We're going right down the middle. We're going into the jaws of Tyrone and they're just clenching every time and they're grabbing us. They're turning us over so much. We're running into tackles. We're getting hit. It's tiring our legs. We need to do something else. We need to start coming around on the loop. We need to maybe start taking shots from 40, 50 metres. We're well able to kick points. And let's not just continuously try to get it to our two main men. Let someone else have a go. And, you know, I talk about the naiveness, and I thought that naivety was extraordinary. To go back on Tyrone a bit, like, Jared, the thing that we've spoken, I suppose, a bit about Tyrone has been, you know, this identity thing, as you say, and it isn't the hunger. It isn't like saying, oh, they wanted it more. That's absolute BS. The thing is that if you look for the McShane goal, how easily that happens, right? It's a very, very simple move. Tyrone come, and most of the Kerry defenders, if you stop the play, the most of them have their back to the man carrying the ball. They're all chasing back in towards their goal. There's no one facing the play and coming out. So what happens is guys are turned. They actually don't know where the ball is. They don't know where their forward is. And the ball is simply played over the top. And actually, if you look at it, Shaunie O'Shea is out on the left-hand side underneath the Hogan stand. He can see it happening. He knows it's going to happen. And if he is, as I said, drilled like the Tyrone goes, he is absolutely sprinting into that position. If he does exactly what Michael O'Neill does in the first half, he's getting back into that position to get a block on. He reacts too late. He doesn't really sprint. The ball comes through. It's blocked. And McShane palms it into the net. That is, as you say, it's an identity thing, I think, of Kerry are kind of saying, well, we still have forwards and we still have defenders and our forwards are the best in the country. So all we really need to do is get them the ball and they'll do the rest. Well, you know, they found out yesterday, actually, well, that isn't the truth. And that isn't the way the modern game is. You know, and like you go back and we, you know, talk about Dublin, to be fair, they had those players, those types of forwards, but they also had a couple, two or three or four more on the bench to come on. So when you were tiring out, they brought even more ammunition on, whereas Kerry didn't really have that yesterday. They couldn't really change it. They were going back to, you know, some kind of things that they've tried before with Tommy Welch and stuff like that. And there wasn't that impetus, there wasn't that real carnage coming off the bench, and a fella who you say, wow, this guy is really going to make a difference. Well, bar actually the young lad O'Connor, who I took, was amazing in the start. But that for me is a difference, and that is something that Kerry team are going to have to get over the next number of years.
It sounds like a pretty significant rethink then from Kerry's perspective.
I think it's not much, like it's not a massive rethink. You know, I remember being involved in the game once we played Wexford, and I remember the video analysis being done by Colin Coyle. Matty Ford got a goal, and I remember he stopped the video and he absolutely ate us, because we thought we were chasing back Matty Ford. I was playing six, and I thought in the game, yeah, I was running hard, but when you actually watched the video, you were like, you weren't really, you were going about 75-80%. You weren't really sprinting. Even if you're going 85-90%, you weren't going absolutely flat out to get back, like to throw your body on the line to get back and try to solve the situation. You may not always get there. Actually, more times than not, you won't get there. But if you have the drive and if you have that savage desire to get there, when it comes to the big crunch games and when it comes to those moments, you will get there. So just a la Matty Donnelly, the ball that came across, if you remember, over to Jack Barry. Donnelly had no right in getting that ball. He was way off, but he read the play. He saw that the crossfield pass was coming, and he had no regard for his own body. He jumped in there. He got a hand on it. He got back up, a couple of little interchanges with McShane, and they got an absolutely vital score. And that actual little moment in the game was the difference for me between Kerry and Tyrone. That's all it was. I don't know if the 5 weeks had an impact on them. I don't know if the fact that the Dubs were bet. I can only imagine the expectation down in Kerry was, that's it. You know, you're going to walk this All Ireland now. So you have Kerry's number, and you have Mayo's number, and you have Tyrone's number. So, you know, you'll go out and hammer them, and away you go, and we'll pick up an All Ireland, and to be normal service resumed. I don't know if the whole COVID thing upset them. As regards, you know, just having to wait around and felt like they were kind of hoodwinked into things. But when you drill it right back down to how they're playing and the setup of the team, they're still playing the game like a backs and forwards type situation. You know, Obioglig, even Gavin White, who was an unbelievable player, and I thought he was immense yesterday for them. He kept driving forward. There's still an idea that they get to a certain place on the pitch and then they look for Clifford and O'Shea. It's like, where are they? And when they're not on song or they're being well marked or when they're not on the pitch, there's a kind of a thing of, well, who's now going to stick up? Who's going to put the hand up and take this on? And that is an over-reliance. And unfortunately, you know, when you have two of the best forwards, which they still are, in the country, you can imagine you're going to try to get the ball to them at least 90% of the time. But when that's not necessarily working out for you, well, then that's a problem. And, you know, and if you go back to the Kerry days of like Gooch and Donaghy and stuff, like Donaghy was an amazing foil for the class that was around him, because he used to take all the stick, he'd start all the rows, he'd mostly finish the rows, but he'd take an awful lot of intensity. He was like a totem pole for those lads. But also he would bring them into play. So you could chop at him as much as you want, but then he'd just slip a little past the Gooch and bang over the bar. Clifford's actually having to do both things now. So he's having to be the totem pole, getting the abuse, but also get the ball, also lose his man and get a score. So that's an awful lot of pressure. It's an awful lot of focus on one man. So they need to actually find one or two forwards who aren't actually the best forwards in the country, but they're fellas who do a serious job for you, and they'll take the pressure off the main men.
We'll talk about Tyrone, because we've got plenty of time to talk about Tyrone. We may as well just luxuriate in this Kerry thing for a little while longer. Does the management team, who've learned these lessons over the last 3 years, do they get another crack at it? Or is it somebody new who comes in and says, right, we've been watching what you were doing and it didn't work and it's time to hit the refresh? Because sometimes, and it's no real fault of the management team, but the stench of defeat follows them to a point. You've had 3 years. I get that it's been COVID interrupted, but at the same time, like I'm definitely on the fence about this. I can see the merits in sticking with them, but I can also see the merits in going, right, refresh, let's go.
Yeah, to be honest, you know, I never really liked these debates, Jared, to be honest with you, post the match, because, it is a simple thing to kind of say, you know, let's go. There's arguments on both sides. I'm not privy enough to what's happening down there to understand what's going on below the surface, right? And there could be stuff going on. I do think what they need to do is they need to hit the reset as regards how they're viewing their own personnel within the camp, and especially the forwards. Like, I would have had worries coming into this game about the defence. And actually, if I was a defender in that game yesterday, by and large, I would have been unbelievably pissed off at the forwards and the fact that they were kept bringing the ball into the tackle and kept getting stripped of the ball. Like, it was as plain as day that that's what was happening. And every time it happened, it gave Tyrone more energy, more fuel. So maybe the real fault with the management team yesterday comes from a situation where you're not seeing that. Someone is not going, hold on, lads. Like, I mean, this is we've got turned over, I don't know how many times in the first half. We've got to change this. We have to do something different. We need fellas taking shots from further out around the arc. We're well capable of kicking them. Sure, we've got some of the best kickers in the country. So let's draw Tyrone out. Let's pull them out. And that's, you know, you go back to, you know, Horan with Mayo and what he did with Aidan O'Shea, and people say, you know, what a masterstroke. Well, these are the hills that you live or die on as a manager. When you make those big decisions, it either works or it doesn't work. And I thought that the Kerry management team yesterday, it was a kind of little bit of, actually, listen, we'll just keep going with what we have. Clifford and the boys, O'Shea, they'll do something magical and we'll get it. Whereas they didn't make those kind of decisive moves. They took Moynihan off, which I even thought was a bit strange, to be honest, because I thought he was busy. You know, they left Stephen O'Brien on, who I thought was having a tough afternoon. But it wasn't even the personnel. It was much more to do with the style and how they were trying to play the game, and the over-reliance as well on Paddy Clifford and trying to get him the ball and trying not understanding that, listen, this guy is getting absolutely mired every time he gets the ball by two or three Kerry lads. And Myler was unbelievable, by the way. Unbelievable yesterday. So let's change him up. So it is, I don't know, Jared, to be honest, you know, they probably deserve another year because of, as you say, the COVID interruptions. It hasn't been easy for anyone, for any management team. I think they probably went a bit hard at it as well this year with the league. They obviously wanted to put a marker down and say, listen, we're going to be absolutely flying and we're going to rip through the league, which they did, to be fair. Like, they were blowing teams out of it. Like, you mean, you only have to go back to the Tyrone game, you know, what they did to Tyrone down there. But listen, GAA game, Gaelic football is about championship, and there's a time to peak and there's a time not to peak. And yesterday, they looked heavy-legged. There was lads going down the cramp left, right and centre on the Kerry team. And for a camp that had COVID in it, and you would have thought it was remnants of COVID and, you know, tiredness and whatever else, you know, Tyrone, I mean, they were as fresh as anything at the end.
Tyrone's kickouts were a bit of a disaster from their perspective. I don't know. It'd be really interesting to know if they just decided they were going to go long and 50-50 was actually going to be fine for them because their defensive setup was confident enough that they were going to win turnovers relatively high up the pitch, and it was essentially, you know, kicking to touch is a GAA rugby equivalent. I don't know, but it certainly looked that way until obviously Clifford's injury, when they started going short, realising that he wasn't going to be able to press while he was still on the field. So Was it an anomaly? Was it random? What was going on with Tyrone's kickouts that they were so ineffective?
I think you have a situation where you have a payoff between long, short. What are we going to do? It's probably a smart enough move to say, do you know what? If we go short here and we get turned over, they have the most lethal lads around who'll just stick the ball straight over the bar or as a goal on. So what we've been doing over the last 6, 9, 12 months is we've been focusing on, as I said at the very, very start, creating this cordoned off area right in front of our goal, which basically is thou shalt not pass. You are not getting in there. You're not getting in there. You might get in there and we'll foul you, but you're definitely not going to get a goal. And we're going to do our damnedest to make sure that it's going to be really, really tricky for you when you get in there. If that happens from, say, general play where the ball is down the far end of the field and there's a turnover, you can have that set very, very easily. You're already set, so you know where you are. If it comes from a short kick out, there's a bit of madness, there's a bit of movement around, you're trying to find space, there's a bit of mayhem. And if it goes wrong, if the execution of the kick out isn't right or something like that, you get snagged or you get caught in possession, well then, all of a sudden, it's very, very difficult to get that set and get that, you know, kind of cordoned off area back correct. If you kick it long, you're going, you know what? We've a shot at this, and if we win it, great. We're 60% of the way up the pitch, and away we go. And we are now in an offensive position. If we lose it, doesn't make a difference. We're still set. We're set structurally. We're set defensively. We're set, and we can face what's coming in, and then we'll go again, and we'll try to win the ball. And I'd say that's probably the thinking, to be honest with you, Ger. Morgan obviously has an enormous range on his kick, and they're probably saying to ourselves, listen, we'd rather lose it 60 yards from goal than losing it 20 metres from goal.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Morgan, I mean, it was on that front, you could say it wasn't his best day, but at the same time, in the highlights reel, he looked like the best player in the land after Saturday. Anthony, like, is he like cementing himself as the standout goalkeeper in the country at this point?
Well, it's funny, you know, I was watching the minor match and the Meade minor goalkeeper kicked a few 50s. Like, it's funny. It just becomes par for the course now. Like, a 50, you know, in our day, if you could kick a 45, by geez, you were some man to launch a ball. Now they're stroking them over like 21-yard free, you know. So it's now become you have to kick a 60, you know, which is ridiculous. Like, his kick right before halftime was an unbelievable score. But he's also, you know, he's very comfortable on the ball. Obviously, he's well able to step out, he's well able to take a pass, he's well able to go past the man. He's very, very calm individual. Well, certainly seems that way on the pitch. But you know, like, defensively, Owen, they are really tough on themselves, and they are a serious outfit. And like, when I take a look forward to Mayo, you know, I'm kind of saying to myself, wow, this is going to be an unbelievable game, in the sense of, like, the Mayo forward line, again, there's a bit more of a collective responsibility thing going on there. The whole Aidan O'Shea question, because you've Hansi and McNamee, and those two boys love it, whatever way you give it to them, rough and tough, whatever way, throw in high balls, low balls. They're in your face. They are really hard on themselves. I don't know if you remember the little push in the back on O'Shea near the end. And the two of them were sick with each other, because they knew it was a cheap free to give away. And, like, I mean, they are owning those positions. And you can see the drive that's in there and their ability to link forward. So, like, I mean, it's... I haven't even thought about the final yet, because I genuinely, you're just trying to kind of still digest yesterday. But Tyrone, I think a lot of us and a lot of people will probably kind of, you know, look back and say, you know, the writing was on the wall there a bit, you know. And as I said, listening to Enda last week, you know, he pointed out some stuff where you're kind of going, yeah, hold on a second, yeah, you know. And you know what, McShane as well, Jared, like, look at his presence, yeah, off the bench. You know, 1-3.
You've got to start him, though, I think, right? Like, in an All-Ireland final, I know you need the cavalry and you need your bench to be really strong and you need to be able to change it, but, like, he's one of the best footballers in the country when he's fully fit, and he looks like he's getting back to full fitness.
Yeah, I still don't think they start him. I still don't. You know, I still think a guy like him... was it the Armagh game? It was the Armagh game. Remember where they brought a number of fellas off the bench. McKenna came off, and guys like me, and they just had, I think they had 1-4 or 1-5 off the bench. Like, that is enormous. And when you go back to Dublin when they were in their pomp, that's what they used to do with the likes of McMenamin. You know, those guys would come on, and all of a sudden you were still within touching distance. You were still kind of grabbing onto their coattails. The next thing, bang, bang, bang. And it was like 1-3, 1-4 scored, and you lose by 7 points. And you're like, how did that just happen? You know, because you come on to a tired legs. As I said, Kerry lads were dropping all over the place. I mean, sure, you know, there was lads getting cramp, you know, and McShane was just like a kid in a candy store. He was absolutely loving it. He was just saying, this is brilliant for me, because he was coming on fresh, as you say, in serious nick, blowing lads out of the way. And, you know, I think they'll hold them back, because I think that when it comes down the stretch, this is going to be as tight as against Mayo, and they're going to need that impact off the bench.
All right, Anthony, good stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
No bother. Cheers, lads.